man with the game information. Gaming Steve, Gaming Steve. Xbox, Nintendo, PC, or PlayStation. Gaming Steve, Gaming Steve. Giving the news to the next generation. Gaming Steve. Give me news,
give me news,
give me views,
give me views.
Gaming Steve,
Gaming Steve. He got the game.
What's to see?
What to see?
What to be?
Gentlemen, please put your hands together for the hardest working man in the game industry, the one man vortex of gaming information, the man who keeps Yoshi as a family pet. Ladies and gentlemen, Gaming Steve!
Hey there, welcome to Gaming Steve, the home of intelligent game discussion. I'm your host, Steve Glicker, and in this week's show, I will go through the latest gaming news. I will go through what I've been doing, what games I've been playing, and some thoughts. I will go through some show mail, and then I have a brand new Name That Game where I'm giving out some huge prizes this week. So first up, let's go through the news.
Gaming news! Gaming news!
The week or two after E3 is usually dead quiet because everyone is saving up all of their news articles and all the big releases right before E3. So it's usually really quiet before E3, and then it's usually extremely quiet after E3. Plus, it's the summer, so anything that's going to be in the news is usually something that's controversial or something that people don't want to be in the news, as opposed to just these endless press releases, which a lot of these news articles, these quote, the news articles usually end up being in the gaming press. But this was a pretty good week in terms of news, not good for the people who are making the news, but a pretty good week for news. There were two monster stories. The first one is unfortunately not a great one. It said Batman Arkham Knight, the PC version, is fairly unplayable, and it has been a real disaster for the publishers of the game. It is done by Warner Brothers Interactive, and there was, to say a few issues, that's putting it mildly. Basically, the game is almost too broken to play. Again, the Xbox version and the PS4 version are totally fine, but it's the PC version. And that's really unfortunate because the people who have the PC version are the ones that are by far the most vocal, because basically they have an outlet. You have Steam, you have Steam reviews, you have the comment section. And the people who get the PC version, they're not spending a couple of $100 on their console and then they expect it to work. They're spending thousands of dollars on their PCs and they really expect these games to work. And this is a big AAA game that a lot of people have been looking forward to. It's by Rocksteady. It's the last game probably in this Batman series. It's the last it's the most recent Rocksteady game. And their previous two games have been out of the park grand slam home runs. And to know that this game is completely more or less unplayable. There's a couple of good videos out there. You can see Total Biscuit has one where he's got something like a $5,000 PC, and it's not only is it unplayable, but the textures look terrible. It's locked at like 30 frames a second. I can go on and on. I have a friend who actually, unfortunately, did pre-order it. He has a brand new PC. He just built it, water-cooled, SSD disks, top-of-the-line MOBO memory, you name it, everything unplayable. The issue with this is that you can't release unplayable games. There's a lot of issues, not just in terms of, oh, well, duh, no kidding, you can't release unplayable games. Now, there's legal issues. So, for example, if you're buying something and it's not usable, you have the right to return it. Well, that's where it really starts getting dicey. A lot of places don't allow you to return PC games. Steam, until very recently, didn't allow you to return games. Green Man Gaming was not really allowing you to return it either. They were saying that they were going to wait for the first patch to come out, and then after the patch came out, then they were going to start allowing returns. I don't know exactly what Stardock and a few of these other online companies, but there's a ton of these companies online, and if you're buying something that doesn't work, you have every right to return it. There's a lot of state laws that protect you for this. There's things like lemon laws, those pertain to cars, but there's the same examples for products that you buy. So And you have a reasonable right to expect this to at least function. You can't necessarily return something because you don't like it. Say you buy a game and it stinks. But if you buy something, you expect it to work. And that's where this starts to get really tricky. And it's starting to expose a really big hole in the game industry is that if you buy something and it doesn't work, and if you want to return it, how do you return it? Steam very recently, has their policy where as long as you play it, it's been, I think, within 2 hours, and it's within 14 days, you can return it as long as you don't abuse the system. They actually even went so far as that they stopped selling it on Steam. And that's a pretty big deal, but it's not as big as you think, because the general rule for selling games is the amount that you sell in the first 3 days is about what you'll sell in the first 3 weeks, which is about what you'll sell in the first 3 months. It's like the rule of three. And of course, they waited a couple days before they pulled the game, even with the bad press, which means they probably sold a lot of copies. You know, they should have pulled it right away, or they shouldn't have released it for PC. You know, that's pretty common. Rockstar does this all the time, where they will just, you know, they won't release a game on PC. They'll release it for the console and they'll hold the PC version until it's ready. They knew. I mean, this is something else. Like, there's no way they didn't know about this. And I could actually prove it. For all the people who are getting review copies, the only things that were going out were review copies for the console. There were no PC review copies sent out. And that's kind of strange. Some of the people I was talking to, they always expect to get a PC copy. In fact, it's usually the preferred way because then they have full control over it. They usually just, you know, release it through Steam or something else. And they weren't giving out PC copies. And that sort of was a warning flag right there. It's like, well, maybe it's not ready, or maybe the drivers weren't optimized. It's possible, but that's not normal. And so this was not necessarily something that was a surprise. It really damages everyone. It damages the PC gaming industry as a whole. It damages Rocksteady. It damages Warner Brothers, you know, you name it, because they know about this and now they're trying to fix it. They're saying, well, Rocksteady is getting involved, and they didn't actually create the PC version. It was ported by a third party company. Actually, the ones who did the last game was the Origins game. They actually did the port. And now Rocksteady's getting involved and they're starting to program it. And they even released a statement today saying that there's, quote, a lot of work to be done. I don't expect a stable game for this thing for weeks, probably even months, which really stinks because I was really looking forward to this. And yeah, I own every single console and I can play this on anything. But I'm only really interested in playing this on a PC. That's kind of what I have my PC for. Allows me to do the highest settings. And to be honest, I got a billion other games to play. So it's not like, oh, I'm not going to play this game because I can't play it. I'll just play something else. And then maybe when you finally get it fixed and I still have time available, I will play it then. But a couple of rules here. One, don't pre-order games, guys. There's almost no reason to pre-order a game. It's really... It makes no sense. I never understood pre-ordering, even in the days when you got nothing. Now, at least they give you some incentives. They'll give you some free stuff. They'll, you know, give you some free extra downloads. But really, don't pre-order anything. And this is even worse, is because you're pre-ordering a game from its developer with an amazing track record. This would be like this is like pre-ordering a game from like Blizzard. And then it doesn't work. You know, you just don't expect this to happen. But actually, it even happens to Blizzard. Look at Diablo 3 with their launch. You know, like, this is just, you know, just don't pre-order. I can't emphasize enough. The other thing is, especially in the PC versions, is sometimes just wait. Because sometimes they have texture issues, obviously frame rate issues. Sometimes you have to wait a week or two for the drivers to get optimized. Sometimes the game is fine, but the drivers aren't optimized. So you have to wait for the display companies to come up with the newer drivers. And then finally, if you're going to buy it, make sure you get it from somewhere where you can return it. You know, Steam, thank God, actually just implemented that procedure. But if they didn't, this would have been a monster story. And also, finally, expect class action lawsuits, and those are definitely going to be coming, because if you buy something and there's so many people affected, You know, lawyers are looking for some way to sue. There's definitely going to be a class action lawsuit. This isn't going to go away anytime soon. You're going to hear a lot about this. So that was probably the biggest story. The second biggest story is Bungie and their and their new released version for Destiny. So for those of you who don't know, is that Bungie is basically, I'll go back, they released Destiny like last year, as everyone knows. And Destiny was really supposed to be an MMO with a monthly subscription. That was the original idea. But at the last second, for whatever reason, they changed their minds and they changed the way that the pricing structure. And instead, it's like endless microtransactions. And what they've done is that they had small releases for like $20 each, which is pretty pricey. It's not insane, but a little pricey for these download expansions. And then this year they announced the Taken King Collector's Edition, which would come with extra class-specific emotes. It would come with armor shaders. It come with exotic class items, with XP bonuses, and some other fun stuff. Well, the issue was is that you can only get those extra items by buying this special edition for $80. So think about that for a second. You are playing this game. You spent $60 on it originally. You spent another $20 and then another $20 in the first two downloads. And now if you want to get some of this new additional new additional content, these armor shaders and class-specific emotes, you have to spend $80 to get those because they were only part of this edition that already had the other two downloads in it, by the way. To make matters worse is that the Bungie PR department went on record basically condescending their users, saying that, oh, if you saw these emotes now, I'm kind of paraphrasing, I'm not looking at the exact quote, but he said, if you see these emotes now, you would throw money at the screen. So there you go. That's probably one of the worst things you could say during an interview. I don't know what they were thinking. The internet, of course, exploded. Since then, Bungie apologized for the screw-ups. It offered a solution where you'll be able to buy this content separately. It's probably going to be, I think it's $20. You can then get the separate content. So you don't have to buy the Taken King, wow, that's hard to say, Collector's Edition for $80, which is already sold out everywhere to begin with. So they kind of figured this out. But at the same time, it's not going to put away this problem of they have to figure out how this game, and Activision is on record saying that this game is going to be out for 10 years and they have a 10-year game plan, which means they expect to get money from you, the person who's playing Destiny, for the next 10 years. And this isn't going to go away anytime soon. They're going to constantly ask for, if you figure it's supposed to be an online subscription, they're going to have to figure out how to get $80 to $100 out of you every single year. So this was not really as much of a quote mistake as you think it was, because they're not going to say, oh, here's the content for $5. They're just not going to do that. They're going to do that for other people who are catching up into the game. You know, they actually already are doing that. They're coming out with new editions with the download material in it already. And of course, it's less money, which sort of messes up the people who bought the material right away. But again, you know, Destiny is really working on their heavy users. And I read an amazing statistic. They said that the average Destiny player plays for 177 hours. Now, that is a lot if you're averaging out. And some of the hardcore people have been playing for 800 plus hours. Now, I tried Destiny. All my friends tried Destiny. All my friends, a lot of them in the MMO world, tried Destiny. Every single one of us stopped playing. Every single one of us don't understand why this game makes it so insanely hard for you to play the game you want to play. They make you jump through a lot of hoops. There's a lot of, you know, there's no real good chat system. There's no way to really play with your friends that great. There's all these online tools and websites to help you basically play the game the way you want to play it, which is a nice thing because I guess it builds community, but I just don't understand what Bungie's doing here and how they expect this game to last for 10 years. I mean, so far they are, because there's people who are playing it for 800 hours. If you are one of those people that are playing this game nonstop, please, please write me. Please tweet me. Contact me on Facebook. Contact me on the Gaming Steve forums. I want to talk to you. I want to know why you're playing this game and what makes it so special. I actually have one friend who plays this game endlessly, and he's not exactly a very sophisticated gamer. He's never played an MMO before in his entire life. He doesn't play a lot of games, and he only plays, you know, he's one of these guys, he only plays like one or two games a year, and those are the same types of games, and he loves it. So it's strange. I guess that's kind of like the casual, I would almost call him like a casual player, because he just, you know, he's not really into the world of gaming, and he loves it. He can't stop playing it. And the only thing I can see is that he never played an MMO before. Everyone I know has played MMOs before and at least understands the MMO structure and how those work. So when they see this game, they can't play it, because as good as the shooting is, or as much fun as they try to have in it, they just look at it and think, you know, there's so much other ways this can be done, and this is how it should be done, since this game really is an MMO, and then they stop playing it. And I actually couldn't even get past the voiceover. I mean, the voiceover on this game was so atrocious, it just ruined the game for me. It sounds insane, but it's true. It was perhaps the most painful voiceover I've ever heard in a game. And also, the boss fights and the fights in general were just so boring. I mean, again, I play a lot of WoW. I do a lot of WoW raiding, where I'm looking for, you know, extremely creative, multi-stepped processes with like lots of different fighting techniques, and these just all seem to be kind of the same. Again, if you're a Destiny player and want to defend this, please let me know. But in the end, it looks like Bungie, instead of charging $80 for a few emotes and colors, they're going to charge $20 for that, and hopefully they'll learn their lesson. But don't expect this to go away. Those of you who like Bungie games and like Destiny, they're going to keep doing this. They're going to still figure out how to get $20, $30, $40 at a time out of you, because that's the whole point of this business model. They're not going to just, you know, come out with one tiny thing. Next up, I have GameStop is starting to sell retro consoles and games. This is kind of shocking. So all those games you kept seeing on the shelves that they would normally sell for like $5. Someone got smart and realized, hey, maybe people start collecting these. There's games like Conker's Bad Fur Day for the Nintendo 64. It's selling for $80 now. I think I have multiple copies of that game. I didn't realize it didn't. I knew it didn't do that great, but I guess it really didn't do that well. Suikoden 2 for the PlayStation. That actually is a very rare game, and I actually talk about that later. $90. But again, that's for the actual cartridge. You can buy the game on the PlayStation Network for, I think, like $10. And that's the other thing. Conker's Bad Fur Day is coming out in a few weeks for the Xbox One. Again, $20 is part of a collection. So these are only for the hardcore collectors. You have things, Cat and Spike for the Dreamcast, $80, and so forth. So it's kind of bizarre that you can buy all these old games for such high prices. And supposedly it's doing pretty well. So I guess the collector's market is out there, and people really want to have these actual physical copies. I kind of wish I knew about that. I got to go find all my Atari. It's like I still have some of my Atari 2600 and even Supercharger games, but I don't know what shape they're in. I definitely have my Supercharger cartridges somewhere. I don't know where the Supercharger itself is. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's awesome. Next is Kinect is not dead, Microsoft says, quote, we are absolutely continuing to support Kinect, unquote. Even though the Kinect was not spoken about at E3, that there's no real games that are using it, and all the games that kind of stink that use the Kinect, they released a Kinect-free bundle, and so forth, yes, yeah, supposedly the Kinect is not dead. Look, just kill the Kinect. It's a brilliant idea. The voice command works, sort of. It just doesn't work. I mean, if you have something that works 70, 80, even 90% of the time, it's not ready for public use. And the Kinect was one of those things. It's really funny how they're forcing. They really tried to force everyone to use the Kinect. 2 years ago, it was basically beyond mandatory, and now it's totally disappeared. And trust me, I've tried very hard to use the Kinect. I've gotten many of the Kinect games. My kids want to try them out. and they don't work. They just don't work. And then you have a game like Dance Dance Revolution for even the Wii, and it's not as exact, but it works. It works enough. That's the thing, is the Kinect wants to work perfectly, and it doesn't work perfectly. The Wii uses, the Wii is okay. It's not exact, but it's good enough, and that's all you really needed. The Kinect was trying to be something it really shouldn't. And I wouldn't be surprised if we... knowing Microsoft, I was about to say, I wouldn't be surprised if it disappeared, but you know what? I'm taking that back. I wouldn't be surprised if the Kinect isn't dead and we do see a few more games trickling out, but they're all going to be done by Microsoft. There's no third-party person who would come out with a Kinect game at this point, unless they're insane or unless it's an experiment of some sort, because they're just not going to sell. Last up in the news items, I have Suikoden 3 comes to the PlayStation Network, came out last week. Why am I mentioning this? Well, because there is a lot of really, really good games on the various networks that you guys should all go back and play. Suikoden 1, 2, and 3 are classics. Last week I told you if you didn't play Ico or Shadow of the Colossus, you just have to go back and play them. If you're only going to play one of those, I'd probably say Shadow of the Colossus, but man, that game is fantastic. If you're just bored this summer and there's something you want to do, get that. This time, if you want to get, I'd say Suikoden 2 is probably the better one. It's a fantastic game. There's like 108 characters. It's a role-playing game. You can play with all of them, and you have crazy builds, insane parties. People are going in and out of your party all the time. It's really a very, it's sort of an old-school game, an old-school RPG, but completely non-traditional. And the story starts off with a bang right away, jumps you right in. You don't really have to play the previous games to know what's going on. It's really up there. You know, a lot of people like it because it breaks the mold and it's very non-traditional, and that's actually why I like it. But definitely give those games a try. I'll probably look at some of the lists and give you guys a few more gems, hidden gems that are out there. The other thing that it works for, which I like, is that it plays on the Vita. I actually love my Vita. I know people keep saying the Vita's dead and there was like no games released for it. It doesn't make any sense. I'm actually playing the Vita probably more than any other platform at this point. I'm always downloading things from PSN. I'm always playing games on there. It's a beautiful screen. It's a good size. You know, it's easier to play than say your iPhone or your Android. It is, you know, I still love my DS, but I really like the Vita quite a bit. It's kind of a shame it's semi-dying. So that's it with the news this week, and let's get to what I've been up to. So we just came back from the Steam sale, and I bought about, 50 games probably. I mean, I would just keep adding to the cart and then the total would be like $40 and it'd have like 20 games. And, you know, I'll probably never play any of them. That's not true. I'll play a few of them. But there's a lot of games in there, like Alien Isolation, which I never got to play. I think I got that for like $5 or something. There was just a whole bunch of really good value in there. Don't Starve, which I never got to play. I got that for like, $2 or $3, something ridiculous. I got all the Thief games again for like $1.50 each. I've actually played them all, but they're so good. I'll probably play them. Those I'll definitely play again. Like in the nice, when it's winter and it's cold, those are good games to play in the winter. So I got some of those. Right now I've been playing Witcher 3. So I want to talk about Witcher 3 a little bit. I know people have been talking about it. It's been out for a couple of months or a couple of weeks now, and a lot of people have been playing it. This game is absolutely fantastic. This is one of the greatest games I've ever played, but it's annoying me. I'll tell you why it's annoying me. Is, first of all, if you like games like, obviously, Grand Theft Auto, or this is a lot closer to RDR, Red Dead Redemption, probably my number one game of all time. It's very, very similar to Red Dead Redemption. I've always wanted the sequel. This is sort of the sequel that never came. It's a very non-traditional game. It sort of is taking place in its own world. The storytelling is just beautifully done. The story is really interesting. You know, it's coming from a place that exists. There's a book series of The Witcher. So what I really like is that it's actually coming from the series. So nothing is just kind of invented. I mean, yes, the stuff is invented, but it comes from an existing universe. So everything sort of has its own place. It's very different. It's obviously, it's Eastern European, and their version of fairy tales is much more hardcore than the American version of fairy tales. There's a lot of stuff I'm watching in this game, and I will just say, just to myself, like, there's a lot of icky, kind of repulsive things in this game, but that's good. It's good if it makes you feel these strong emotions. What's nice about this game is that there's a very strong story, but you can also sort of just go off on your paths and do anything you want. And it's sort of got that version of The Sims in it. So I know this sounds crazy, but what makes The Sims and sim-like games so popular is that Will Wright talked about this a lot in his GDC talks, is that he gives you the ability to do something multiple ways, as well as he gives you lots of goals. And that's what this game does, is it'll say, here is a short-term goal. It's like your life. In your life, you have short-term goals, like what you're going to do next minute, what you're going to do in the next hour, what you're going to do by the end of today, what you're going to do within the next week, month, year, life, etc. So you have all these different size goals. And then depending on how you feel, you could decide if you're going to take on a small goal, that's something you want to do in the next hour, or a bigger goal, something you want to get done before the end of the week, things like that. So you sort of plan out your life. The Sims and most Will Wright games do this. Grand Theft Auto does this as well. But The Witcher does this, and I'd say RDR, Red Dead Redemption, do this probably almost better than any other game I've ever seen. The game doesn't force you into any direction. You don't have to go and do the main quest. If you want to, you can do the main quest. If not, here's 100 side quests, anything from level 1 to level 50. And there's no restriction. You want to do a level 50 quest? Go right ahead. Do the level 50 quest. If you want to do a low-level quest, go ahead and do that. And because of that, and this is where I'm getting annoyed with the game, it is taking forever to finish this game. I have never actually had this issue where I'm playing this game, I keep playing it, and I feel like I'm just inching forward in the storyline. Probably Baldur's Gate 2 was the only one I ever played that was even close to this, but there are no shortcuts in this game. I think they said people did speed runs, and the fastest speed run was 25 hours, and you know, it's not like Skyrim and these other games where the people can speedrun them in a few hours. Like, there's no shortcuts. You actually have to go through this game, and this game is a long game. However, this game is a fantastic game. So if you're looking for a huge game that really gives you open world and ways to play it, you know, even Minecraft, it's almost Minecraft-esque, only with like a really strong story, I would really recommend getting this game. It's definitely going to be in my top 10. I'm still playing it, but I tell you, it's long. It's a long game. I mean, people say how long this game is, but you really don't realize how long it is until you're about 100 hours in and you realize there's like 5 chapters and you're still in chapter 1. And you're like, wow, this game is big. This is going to take a while. This is not going to take me a short amount of time. And in the old days, that's what everyone wanted. They wanted a bang for their buck. But now, you know, I really just need games that I can finish. I'd say about 50 hours is my limit, but that's how good this game is. This game is so good, it's keeping me interested. And one of the things that keeps me interested is I'll mix in other games. I've been throwing in a lot of little games I bought at the Steam sale. I also have been throwing in, believe it or not, Diablo 3. I kind of like to throw that in there because you can just pick up Diablo 3, play for a little while, and throw it out. So you don't have to like invest yourself into like a heavy RPG. As they said, I was trying out Don't Starve, a few other things. But right now, it's sort of like the doldrums where, you know, obviously you have a few big games like Batman that came out, but obviously can't play that right now until it's fixed. So there's nothing really going to be coming out until September. So right now is the time to just sort of go through your catalog. It's like spring cleaning for your games. I would recommend if you're home, go through your catalog, see what games you want to clear out, get through those games. Because come September, all the big new games are going to be coming out, especially September, October, November. Those are the months where everything's released. Now, with that, let's go to show mail.
Show mail!
So if you want to write me, you can write me at feedback@gamingsteve.com. You can tweet me. I'm @gamingsteve if you want to send me a tweet. You can also send me something on Facebook. I'm on the message boards. There's like 100 ways to get in touch with me. But if you write me a question, I will answer it online. So first up, I have Stefan Vanderborn. He writes, as a colleague old gamer, don't you think the reaction on Arkham Knight is a little bit out of control? It crashes, but sheesh. And that's what he wrote me. No, I don't think it's out of control. I kind of went through that earlier. Yeah, it crashes a bit, but that's not it. It doesn't just crash. It has slowdown. It has really muddy textures. It's unplayable. And that's the difference between having a bad port and having a port from a AAA developer on a AAA game that they've been pre-ordering and promoting like crazy. And if you can't play it, it's a big deal. That is a very, very big deal. You know, just compare that to anything else. Let's say you bought a book and some of the pages were missing from the book. You know, imagine it's the new Harry Potter book and some of the pages are missing. Eh, what's the big deal? A couple of pages are missing. You get the gist. You can figure it out. Or you go see a movie. We all go see the new Star Wars movie, but they leave out a couple of minutes in the middle of the movie. Yeah, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is because you expect a complete working product, and it is a big deal. So, again, you're not incorrect in the sense that, look, if this was just a bad port, people would complain, but it's unplayable. It's unplayable to the point that it was taken off Steam. It's not even for sale anymore. People are getting refunds. You know, this is a big deal. And hopefully this is a lesson to all the other developers out there, is that don't release games that are broken. It's just not going to be worth it. Unfortunately, when people are pre-ordering games and people are buying games like they do now, which is usually in the first 3 days or so, the publishers and developers don't really care because they make all their money, and good luck getting it out of their hands. So again, once we see some class action lawsuits and that starts to happen, maybe, just maybe, they will actually start delaying at least the PC versions. The console versions, those actually even have some, they have some safeguards, is that at least those have to go through the publishers, have to go through Sony and Microsoft. So if the games don't completely work on those systems, they won't allow them to be released. They have to kind of work. What I mean by kind of is that, yes, they can release day one patches and make it work smoother, but you can't. Like, if those games were in that condition, they might be released, they might not. You'd be surprised. Microsoft might have rejected it. Supposedly with the Windows 10, which is going to be using the same OS as the Xbox One and PC, a lot of these issues should go away in the future. Because if you're building for the Xbox, you're building for the PC, it's going to be very similar. So the code base should run nearly identical. Hopefully that will be the case. Until it comes out, though, we won't really know. But thanks for your letter. And next up, I have Dan B. Ham. He wrote me, are you looking forward to Persona 5? Do you think it'll come out this year? I'm not a JRPG fan, but I might try this one. Persona 5, I think it's coming out this year. I love all of Atlus games. I love the Persona series. If you want to look for another game, I gave you some games to look, you know, like play this summer. The Persona series is right up there. It is fantastic. The Persona 3 game, this was one of these games I remember, I didn't even know anything about it. It came out, it won. Like, every year I look to see like what wins awards. And this game was winning best RPG, every single category, like for everyone. And then it was winning best a couple of Game of the Year awards. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I didn't really know that much about the Persona series. I've heard of it, and it's been around a long time. The Persona series is this own universe where you can meld demons and build other types of demons. And all the demons, it's similar to Final Fantasy. And so it's the same type of demons. You see the same types of demons, the same illustrations, the same mythology. So if you play one of these games, you sort of know how all the other games play. I've actually played a lot of the Persona DS games, but I never really played Persona 1 or 2, which are very different. And Persona 3 it's just a fascinating game because, first of all, it takes place in a school in Japan. And just even knowing how Japanese schools work so differently than American schools, even that alone I found really fascinating. So it sort of strange combo of like a dating simulator with a school simulator with a role-playing game with demon combat. And a rogue element to it. It's sort of the strangest, most bizarre combo of gameplay you've ever seen, and it works really beautifully. If you're going to start out with any of them, though, Persona 4 is definitely the best one to start out with. It's probably the most forgiving one, and it's a little bit less shocking to get into, let's say, than Persona 3. Again, you can get it, hey, for the Vita. What do you know? It's actually the Persona 4 version for the Vita is excellent. And I would really recommend that to anyone who wants to play. It's incredibly Japanese, by the way. If you want to play, like, there's JRPGs. This is like the definition of a JRPG. It doesn't just take place, it takes place in Japan, centered around Japanese culture. So you really get into it. But the gameplay, the demon building, the game is actually also usually pretty hard. That's something else that's known in the Persona series, that they're not exactly the easiest games. So you do have to do a little bit of grinding, but it's not too bad. It's fun to level up your demons. The demons are kind of like Pokemon. They kind of fight for you. You fight, and then you have your demons fight, and your demons give you different abilities. Again, it's really out there. Persona 5, very excited. These games are big games. They take a lot out of you to play. So I can only really play a Persona game every couple of years. But I would definitely recommend that. There also was a Persona game that just came out for the DS just recently. I would pick that one up. I forgot the exact name. It just came out recently. But anything by Atlus, man, I just get all of their games. They're all, again, you really have to be into Japanese gaming and Japanese games, but I just get them all. Some are hit or miss, but just the fact, I just want to support a company that is going through the trouble of bringing these games over, porting them, translating them into English. Otherwise, you'll never see these games. You never get a chance to play them. Some of them are just, totally out there, beautiful, wonderful games, and you got to support someone like that. So I get everything. And next, I will do Name That Game with a big, big prize.
Name That Game!
All right, so for this week's Name That Game, actually, let me back up for a second. So in the old Gaming Steve show, the way we used to do this is that I would play a game, and then you would just have to write me and tell me what the game is. I would take everyone's entries, and I would pick some random ones, and if you were correct, you would get a prize. And so we're going to do that again. I'm going to give you a game. You have to just pick it, and the prize is going to be a $50 gift certificate to Amazon.com. Once again, a $50 gift certificate to Amazon.com. And you know what? I'm going to give out three of those gift certificates. So I'm going to pick three winners next week. So this is all you have to do. This is how you enter. You listen to the sound. If you know what it is, just write me at game@gamingsteve.com. So just write me an email. You have to give me your name, obviously, and then also give me your Gaming Steve forum name. So if you're not a member of the Gaming Steve forum, you have to become a member. It's very easy. You just go up, you sign up. It takes 2 seconds. A lot of you are. There's a lot of members. There's thousands of people that are already members. Most of you listening probably are members already. But check out the Gaming Steve forum. There's a lot of posts on there. It's a very friendly place. We have a lot of play-by-post games. A lot of people just goof off on there. There's just, pretty much every category imaginable. So again, just send me a game@gamingsteve.com, the name of the game, your Gaming Steve forum name, and if you're correct, I will pick three winners next week, and each winner will get a $50 gift certificate to Amazon.com. So with that being said, here is the game. What is this? There we go. If you know the name of that game, send me an email. Once again, game@gamingsteve, the name of the game, and your Gaming Steve forum name. And with that, let's go to final thoughts.
Gaming Steve's final thoughts.
So this probably is my shortest Gaming Steve episode of all time. Part of it is that there just isn't a lot going on in the news. I only have a couple of emails. It is quiet. It is the summer. I am lining up some interviews with some people. And I also have a big special I'm going to do. I'm actually still organizing it. I didn't have any time for this podcast, but I have a big special podcast. I don't want to say the subject yet, but everyone's going to like it. It's going to go through the history of a certain game and gaming company in extreme detail. And I might even have some people on to also talk about it. In addition, as I said last week, I might be changing the format of the show a little bit. We'll see. I'm still working on it. But if I do, it's going to be real awesome. It's going to be different, but it's different is good. It's going to be good and different. A few other things. Do listen to us. Do subscribe to us on iTunes. If you can put in a review, I'd really appreciate it. If you want to check out the Twitter feed, I'm always reachable by Twitter. I usually post a few times a day. If you check out the Facebook page, The Gaming Steve, I actually post usually two times a day on there. I'm on the forums as well. And hey, there's also a website. It's all over the place, man. Social media. Look what's going on. In the old days, all you had was email and I would wake up and I'd get 500 emails. Now it's, I just wake up and I have messages from every type of platform known to mankind sending me. So it's all over the place. So otherwise I will talk to you guys next week. Have a good gaming week. I will see you.
Listening to Gaming Steve. Until next week, stay out of trouble in Liberty City.